Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I am Pastor Steve, and this show is for Thursday, December the 1st, 2016. We are going to be covering chapters 15 and 16 of 1 Samuel for Shemuel. And it is all about Shaul and his second sin at Gilgal. He continues to make mistakes. As I said yesterday, he's a knothead and just doesn't want to listen. So let's begin with verse 1 of chapter 15. Said Shemuel to Shaul, Yahweh sent me to anoint you king over his people Israel. Now therefore listen to the voice of the words of Yahweh. And verse 1, you can check 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1. Verse 2, thus says Yahweh of hosts, I paid attention to 6485. What Amalek did to Israel, how he laid in wait for him in the way when he came up from Mitzrayim. Now, verse 2, you can reference Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 14, and Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 17 through 19. Verse 3, now go and smite Amalek, and devote to destruction, 2763, all they have. Have compassion, 2550, upon none, but slay both man and woman, both child, 5768, and suckling, 3243, that's nursing infants, both ox and sheep, both camel and ass. No mercy, in other words, in this verse. He wanted to destroy Amalek from under the sun. Wanted to wipe them out. Verse 4. Shaul caused to hear, 8085, the people, 5971, and mustered them in Telaim, 2923, 200,000 foot soldiers, 7273, that's men of foot, and 10,000 men of Yahuda. Okay, they were already sort of distinct because they were the main warriors. Verse 5. Came Shaul to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the wadi, 5158. Verse 6, said Shaul to the Cani, 7017, go, depart, 5493, as get out of the way, that actually means turn aside, go forth from among the Amaleki, lest I gather, 622, you with them, because you showed kindness, 2617, to all the children of Israel when they came up from Mitzrayim. So the Cani departed from among the Amaleki, the Kenites. Verse 7, and Shaul smote Amalek from Kavilah, 2341, until you come to Shur, S-H-U-R, 7793, that is close to Mitzrayim, by the border of Egypt. Verse 8, he captured Agag, 90, king of Amalek, alive, and devoted to destruction all the people with the edge of the sword. That's that mouth of the sword, that I spoke of yesterday. Verse 9, but Shaul and the people showed compassion upon Agag, and the best, 4315, of the sheep and the oxen and of the second born, 4932, that means fatlings, really, Hamishmanim, and of the lambs, and all that that was good, and would not devote them to destruction. But all that was worthless, 5240, and broken down, 4599, they devoted to destruction. Oh, man. He just... he just doesn't listen. Just won't obey. I don't know what the matter with the guy is, except he's a knothead. He is not a good leader. He is not obedient to Yahweh. He continually does what he pleases. He's just... well, verse 10, the word of Yahweh came to Shemuel, saying, verse 11, I regret, 5162, that I have made, 4427, made to reign Shaul king, 4428, because he has turned away from following me, has not carried out my word of command. And it kindled the anger of Shemuel, and he cried out to Yahweh all night. Verse 12, rising early, Shemuel went to meet Shaul in the morning, and it was told to Shemuel, saying, Shaul went to Carmel, and behold, he set up, 5324, Matzib, a monument, 3027, that's literally hand, yod, and it's a rare usage of this, and has turned about, 5437, and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. Well, verse 13. Shemuel came to Shaul and said, Shaul, blessed are you of Yahweh. I have carried out the command of Yahweh. Oh, stop right here. No, you didn't. Didn't pay a bit of attention to what Yahweh said. You just did what you felt good in your eyes. That's what you did. So Shemuel is going to check him on this right away. Had to clear the pipes again. Verse 14, said Shemuel, why then is this bleating, 6963, you know, meh, as the voice of the animals, bleating of sheep in my ears, and the lowing, 6963, of the oxen that I hear? Verse 15. Said Shaul, they were brought from the Amaleki, because the people had compassion upon the best of the sheep and the oxen for sacrifice unto Yahweh Elohecha. And the rest we devoted to destruction. That's not what Yahweh said. He said kill everything. He didn't want it as an offering. Kill everything. All the animals, all the people. Very specific. Verse 16. Said Shemuel to Shaul, be quiet. 7503. I will tell you what Yahweh has said to me this night. He said, speak. Verse 17, said Shemuel, when you were small, 6996, in your own eyes, were you not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and Yahweh anointed you king over Israel? Verse 18, and Yahweh sent you on the way and said, go and devote to destruction the sinners of Amalek, and fight against them until they are consumed. For what reason, then, did you not obey, or hear, 8085, hear and obey? Actually, it literally means to hear. Did you not hear the voice of Yahweh, but did dart greedily upon the spoil, and did evil in the sight of Yahweh? And here he goes again, verse 20. Said Shaul to Shemuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of Yahweh, and have gone in the way Yahweh sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have devoted to destruction Amalek. Verse 21, but the people took away from the spoil, sheep and oxen, the best of the devoted things, 2764, to sacrifice to Yahweh Eloheka in Gilgal. Verse 22, and you can reference verse 22 in Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. Said Shemuel, has Yahweh delight, 2656, in burnt offerings and sacrifice, or obedience to the voice of Yahweh? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed, in other words, pay attention to, 7181, than the fat, 2459, of rams. Verse 23. Because rebellion, 4805, is like the sin of divination, 7081. Pushing, 6484, as the iniquity of teraphim, 8655. Those are household idols. Because you have rejected, 3988, the word of Yahweh, he has rejected you from being king. Wow, what a verbal slap in the face. Verse 24. Said Shaul to Shemuel, I have sinned. 2398, that is katafi. And that version of sin means to miss the mark of duty or responsibility. He said, I have sinned because I overstepped 5674 abreti, that means to pass beyond the commandment of Yahweh and your words, because I feared the people and listened to their voice. Verse 25, now please take away, 5375, literally to lift up or forgive, used is forgive here, my sin, and return with me that I may bow down, 7812, that's prostrate to Yahweh. Verse 26, said Shemuel to Shaul, I will not return with you, because you have rejected the word of Yahweh, and Yahweh has rejected you from being king over Israel. Verse 27. Pay attention to this one. You can reference verses 27 and 28, and 1 Samuel 28:17, and 1 Kings 11:30 and 31. As Shemuel turned around to leave, Shaul seized, 2388, the corner, 3671, of his robe, 4598, and it tore, 7167. Let me get a hit of coffee here. Oh, I needed that. Said Shamuel to him, Yahweh has torn the kingdom of Israel from you this day, and has given it to another man better than you. Verse 29. Also the eminence, 5331, Netzach, that is a reference to Yahweh, that is a title. The eminence of Israel will not lie, 8226, nor change his mind, 5162, because he is not an Adam, 120, that he should change his mind. Verse 30, said Shaul, I have sinned, but honor me now, please, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and return with me that I may bow down to Yahweh Eloheka. There's some major sucking up going on there. Honor me before the people. Yahweh doesn't want you, but you want to be honored before the people, you arrogant ass. Told you he was a knothead. Verse 31, so Shamuel returned following Shaul, and Shaul bowed down to Yahweh. Not going to do him any good at this point. He's passed beyond redemption. Verse 32, said Shamuel, bring here to me Agag, king of Amalek. Agag came to him in bonds, 4575. And Agag said, surely, 403, turn aside, 5493, the bitterness, 4751, of death, 4192, pleading for himself. That's not going to do him any good either, because Yahweh has issued a commandment concerning him, and he's done. Verse 33, here it comes. As said Shamuel, as your sword has bereaved, that means makes childless, 7921, Shelilah, women, so your mother, 517, shall be bereaved, 7921, among women. And Shamuel hewed in pieces, 8158. Now this is listed as dubious. Yashasef. Hewed in pieces, Agag, before Yahweh in Gilgal. Verse 34, Shamuel went to Ramah, and Shaul went up to his house in Gibeah of Shaul. It became his capital city. Verse 35, Shamuel came no more to see Shaul until the day of his death. But Shamuel mourned, 56, for Shaul, and Yahweh regretted that he had made Shaul king over Israel. He mourned for Shaul because he was a great disappointment. He had potential, but he turned out to be a knothead and he wouldn't be obedient. All right. We've got the hewing in pieces of Agag. All right. The death of Amaleki, the king of the Amaleki, the Amaleks, Amaleki. In the book of Esther, you have Haman, the Agagi. Evidently, when they were killing Amalek, pardon me for a second, I still have to cough periodically. In other towns, they missed some of his descendants. And this Haman was an advisor to Artaxerxes. And he persecuted all the children of the Judahites, not the Jews, Yehudim, those who praise Yah, Yehudim, until he was exposed and killed by the king. This is a direct connection between this verse, verse 33 in chapter 15, and the book of Esther. The book of Esther is not a Jewish book. It is a Judahite book telling the relation between the Agagi, who was bitter over Israel killing his ancestor, the king. So there is a direct connection for you right there. Now, Shaul has shown himself to be disobedient. He was bigger than everybody else physically. He has the characteristics here of a bully issuing that stupid order not to eat anything when you're going into battle so you fall down from fatigue and the Philistines can just hack you to pieces. You won't have strength to fight. I mean, you know, what kind of commander does that? Not one that knows anything. Well, I'm big and I'm the king and this is what I say. Ugh. What an idiot. You know, I've met guys like that. Just, you know, they're big and they assume because they're big, they're in control. Well, no, they're not. I was a biker for many, many years, and we had guys like that that would come around, and they had to be put in their place physically. And sometimes that was my job. I'm a pretty big guy, too, but I have hated bullies all my life because I was little in high school, and the bullies used to pick on me just because I was smaller, because they should, until I brought a baseball bat to school one day and worked a couple of them over. Caught them after school. I came out from behind a bush and I busted some knees and some collarbones. And I was in grade school and everybody left me alone after that. I wonder why. Yeah, I had a wooden. I played hardball when I was a kid. They didn't have softball then. They had just hardball. And I had my own glove and bat, and I was a shortstop, and I could hit. I was all right, even for a small guy, I was quick. And if they did a ground ball in my direction, I nailed it. Well, I nailed the bullies after school, too. And that's the history of my childhood. I have never been one to tolerate bullying, either toward myself or to others. And I smacked a couple of bullies that were picking on somebody smaller and said, pick on me and see how well you do. Oh, no, man, no. Yeah, right, no. Go to the bathroom and wash the blood off your face. Your nose is bleeding. We're in a bullying situation out here today. That's why I avoid contact with a lot of authority. And that's probably the reason I went to prison, because I wouldn't knuckle under. But that's all right. I served my time with dignity and learned all about the word and learned Hebrew and didn't waste a day, didn't watch the devil vision while I was in in the slammer. I'm not ashamed of going to prison. Oh man, that's shameful. No, it's not. Not for the reason I went. I was a patriot and a militia commander and was teaching people, and I had a Christian identity radio station. Years before all the stuff, I was around when Copper Ray and all those guys were alive. Wesley Swift and all of them. I've been around a long time. I've just been gone for a while. That's okay. Hey, I put it to good use. It was a blessing. And I really had my eyes opened. I'd heard a lot of the horror stories. And when I was in, I had one of the big black bullies try to intimidate me. And after I slammed him against the wall in the bathroom a couple of times and kicked him in his precious parts, everybody left me alone in prison too. They never messed with me after that. I took out the biggest guy in the cell block, and I was a lot younger then. Don't know if I could do it now. I could, I can go for about 30 seconds, and if you can't get it done in 30 seconds, you've lost the fight. So, just one of those things. I'm an anti-bully, and I wouldn't have liked Shaul either. I don't care how big he was. My motto, which you see on my Skype contacts, is Yahweh first. Yahweh has preserved me to do what I'm doing right now. Not that I'm any stellar individual or a wonderful person, but I do know His Word. And I do know how to read it and to interpret it. He has blessed me with that. He takes the worst of us and makes something good out of us. He's done it over and over and over and over. And He did it with me. I'm not no great guy. I'm just an old biker. And I love Yahweh. I love His Word. I love His only begotten Son, Yahshua. And my life is totally turned around. I'm not the man that I used to be. Thank Yahweh. I was not a good guy at one time. A lot of people think I'm a little rough right now. But I had just have very little tolerance for foolishness. I don't care for it. If it gets in the way of service to Yahweh, we need to get rid of it. And I've gotten rid of it out of my personal life. I don't do what I used to do. And that is due to the influence of the Holy Spirit. I have very good self-control, which He has given me. This comes from Yahweh, not of my own worth. None of us are really worth anything, but Yahweh blesses us. He loves us, even in spite of our faults. Otherwise, He wouldn't have sent the Redeemer for us. Well, let's get into the book of Shemuel, chapter 16. And this tells of the coming end of Shaul's reign. And verse 1 says, "Said Yahweh to Shemuel, how long will you mourn, 56, for Shaul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn, 7161, with oil." It was a horn, and it was used as a flask, and they had a stopper, for both ends, a big stopper for the large end and a little bitty a plug for the other end. And the little end was the dispenser. Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Yeshai 3448, the Beth Halachmi, that means Bethlehemite 1022, for I have selected 7,200, literally that means seen, I have seen of his sons a king. He's gonna pick one of Yishai's son, which will wind up being Dawid. He will become king after Shaul. But this is gonna be a long deal here. This is gonna tell the coming end of Shaul. Okay. Verse 2, said Shemuel, how can I go? If he hears, Shaul will slay me. Said Yahweh, take a heifer with you. That's a young calf. Take a heifer with you and say, I am come to sacrifice to Yahweh. Invite, 7121, literally to call, invite Yishai to the sacrifice, and I will make known to you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me whom I say to you. Verse 4. Shemuel did what Yahweh spoke and came to Bethlehem, that's the house of bread, and the elders of the city came trembling, 2729, to meet him, 7122, and said, come you peacefully? They were worried that he was going to bring the wrath of Yahweh down on them. They were scared of Shemuel. Verse 5, he said, peacefully, I come to sacrifice to Yahweh. Consecrate yourselves, 6942, that hithakadeshu, and that means by ritual purification, the bathing and the washing of clothes, and all of that, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he consecrated Yishai. That's Jesse. See how the difference is? That, you know, 3448 Jesse. Not even close to Yishai. They just put in whatever they wanted in the King James. He consecrated Yishai and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. Verse 6. It was, when they came, he saw Eliab, 446, and said, surely Yahweh's anointed is before him. That's anointed is 4899. Meshiku. Verse 7, but Yahweh said to Shemuel, do not pay regard. Pay regard is 5027 Tabet. To his appearance, 4758, or the loftiness, 1364, of his stature, 6967, because I have rejected him. Verse 7, because not as an Adam sees, and in parentheses, does Yahweh see? that was added as an addendum, and it's not in the Hebrew, but it is in the Septuagint. The does Yahweh see is only in the Septuagint. Because Adam sees the appearance, 5:8-6:9, as what the eye sees, but Yahweh sees the heart, 3:8-4, as the inner man, or the thought processes. Now, Eliab was one of the sons of Yishai. Okay, then called, verse 8, then called Yishai Abinadab, another son, and had him pass before Shemuel. And he said, Yahweh has not chosen this one. Verse 9. Then made Yishai Shama, 8:0-4:8, to pass by, and he said, neither has Yahweh chosen this one. Verse 10. Yishai made his seven sons, he had eight, seven sons pass by before Shemuel. And Shemuel said to Yishai, Yahweh has not chosen these. Now here's verse 11, and you can reference Psalms 151, verse 1. And I believe that's in the Apocrypha. Verse 11, said Shemuel to Yishai, are your young men completely here? 8:5:5:2, completely here. He replied, there yet remains, 7:6:0:4, the youngest, 6:9:9:6, and behold, he shepherds, 7:4:6:2, another feeds the sheep. Said Shemuel to Yishai, call and fetch him, because we will not Nasab, 5:4:3:7. And 5:4:3:7 is from Sabab. This meaning is a little uncertain here. It means march around the altar or sit around the table to eat. So the sit around the table thing is more than likely, but it is not really clear. It's not spelled out clearly in Scripture. So I'm letting you know the two possible meanings of this. We will not nasab until he comes here. Now this is verse 12. Listen to this very carefully. He called and brought him. Listen to this description. He was ruddy, 1:32, Adamoni, with a beauty, 3:3:0:3, Yefe, of eyes, 5:8:6:9, Enev, and good, 2:8:9:6, with tob, appearance, 7:2:10, ro'i. Okay. Said Yahweh, arise, anoint him, 4:8:8:6. Because this is he. Boom. Yahweh points him out. Verse 13. And you can reference Psalms 151, verse 4. Shamuel took the horn of oil and anointed 4886. Wayimashak. Okay. And anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of Yahweh rushed 6743 upon Dawid, 1732. That is D-A-W-I-D, not D-A-V-I-D. The Jews changed the spelling. Upon Dawid from that day onward, 4605. So Shamuel rose up and went to Ramah. That's where he lived. Verse 14. The Spirit of Yahweh departed from Shaul. That's the Ruach. That's like the Holy Spirit, okay? And a spirit, 7307, a different spirit, of evil, 7451, or harmful, sent from Yahweh, fell upon him, 1204, Ubiathatu. And the evil 7451 is an overwhelming frenzy and violent feelings, as in deep manic depression. You see what's happened? He's going to destroy Shaul because of his disobedience. So he took the Holy Spirit from him and sent a harmful spirit on him as punishment. Verse 15, said the servants of Shaul unto him, behold now, a spirit of evil from Elohim falls upon you. Again, the same usage. Evil doesn't mean Yahweh initiates wickedness. It means he's punishing Shaul. Verse 16, let our Lord, 113, that's Adonainu, now command your servants before you to seek a man, a knowledgeable player, 5059, of the lyre, 3658, that's L-Y-R-E, that's a musical instrument, and it shall be, when the spirit of evil from Elohim is upon you, in other words, when you get depressed, he shall play with his hand, and it shall be well, 2895, with you. In other words, it's going to calm him down. Verse 17, said Shaul to his servants, look for me now a man that plays well, and bring him to me. Verse 18. And one of his servants answered and said, behold, I have seen a son of Yishai, the Beth Halakmi, a Bethlehemite, knowledgeable in playing, and a mighty, 1368, man of valor, 2428, and a man of war, 4421, discreet, 995, in speech, 1697, manly, 376, in form, 8389, and Yahweh is with him. Okay, people, he's a shepherd, tending the flock. There was a lot more to that in those days. They had to defend the flock from raiders, from wild animals, lions and bears, you know, lions and tigers and bears, oh my! Well, that's where Dawid learned to use that sling. It wasn't a little rubber slingshot, it was a leather thing with a pouch on it, and they could send real good-sized rocks at high velocity, almost pistol speed, and if it hits you in a vital part, it would kill you. They were deadly weapons, and they 50 yards away, man, you were toast. If you had a good slinger, he was going to pelt you with big, smooth rocks and knock you down. Verse 19, so Shaul sent messengers to Yishai, saying, send me Dawid, your son, who is with the sheep. Verse 20, Yishai took an ass and bread and a wineskin of wine and a kid, that's a young goat, and sent them to Shaul by his son Dawid. Presents to the king. Yishai didn't know that Yahweh was going to remove Shaul. That was between Shemuel and Shaul and Yahweh. Verse 21, so Dawid came to Shaul and stood before him in the throne room, and he loved, 157, him greatly, 3966, and he became his armor bearer. That's strong friendship, 157, not sexual love, okay? He wasn't queer. He loved him for what he was. He could play, and he was enamored of him at first. This isn't going to last. Verse 22, Shaul sent Yishai, saying, please, let Dawid stand before me, because he has found favor, 2580, in my sight. Verse 23, and it was when the spirit from Elohim was upon Shaul that Dawid took a lyre. It's hard for me to quit saying David. Even I, with all the studies I've done, fall back upon that wrong pronunciation. Forgive me. And played with his hand. So Shaul found relief, 7304, and it was well with him, and the spirit of evil departed from upon him. In other words, his depression abated. Yishai of Bethlehem is in the territory of Yehuda, all right? That's where the kingship would lie. Now, Shaul was a Binyamini, Benjaminite, but Dawid was a Yahudi, those who praise Yah. That's what that means. Judah, it's Yahuda. Yah. Uda, Yah is praised. Shemuel was afraid of Shaul, but Yahweh gave him the method with the sacrifice thing to accomplish his task. And Yahweh already knew who he was going to pick. He just had to reveal it to Shemuel, and when Shemuel gets there, Eliab looked good. He was the eldest son of Yishai, and he looked good, and he was mighty and all that stuff, but in verse 7, Yahweh basically says, don't look at the outer man, but the inner man, as Yahweh does. And one by one, the sons are rejected. And finally, the one that he didn't bring, that's still out watching the flocks because he's very reliable, Yishai sends for him, and bada bing, bada boom. Yahweh says, this is the one. And verse 12, Ruddy, Ademoni, stems from the same root as Adam, to show blood in the face, to blush. Very white skin, and the blood shows through the skin. And Dawid was a pure Adamic seed Israelite. He had a beautiful face. In other words, handsome, good, manly appearance. Very attractive. Pardon me for just a second. Yeah, I lose my breath every once in a while. And Yahweh chose him to be the anointed as king because he looked inside David and saw admirable qualities. He knew his spirit. And then he blesses him with the Holy Spirit that he had removed from Shaul. This evil spirit of evil is like severe manic depression with accompanying extreme highs and lows, frantic feelings, in other words, panic attacks, and violent reactions. It's not an angelic being inhabiting Shaul, but an overwhelming feeling that falls upon him. And the word used for evil here has many uses. It's a harmful spirit. And this fits in context with what was happening to Shaul. And these actions of violence will show up later in Shaul's treatment of David and his own son, Jonathan. In other words, he's going loopy. He's off the deep end here. The responsibility and the knowledge he's been removed as king has affected him, and he's become depressed. And Shaul will gradually go mad from paranoia and depression. And he's going to overextend himself, and he's going to go do some stuff, and he's going to get killed. Later, we'll get into that. But I'm coming down the end of the road for today on chapters 15 and 16. We're going to go into 17 and 18 tomorrow, and we're going to see the battle tomorrow with the Philistines, and David is going to kill Goliath, G-O-L-Y-A-T-H. It's not Goliath. It's Goliath. And again, they played fast and loose with the translations, anglicizing them, and it doesn't sound anything like it should in the Hebrew. And I use the Hebrew a lot during my readings, so you are familiar with the sounds. The more you know about Hebrew, the better off you're going to be. And you sure don't have all these years to study like I did, so I'm going to give you what I can with proper pronunciations and the Strong's numbers. This is a teaching ministry that I'm doing because my people perish from lack of knowledge. Well, you don't have the hours in the day because you're scrambling basically to survive in these end times. And I have all this study, and I am very, very pleased to be able to present this knowledge to you and free up some of your time. I really do it out of love. And the more you know, the more you know, and the better and more effective you will be in these end times. And so I want to give you additional ammunition spiritually. We are watching the gradual imploding of the usurer's empire financially. We have seen a reversal of their will with the election of Trump. He's still a man, and I still have great doubts. Pardon me, I don't get on any politician's bandwagon because they are still men and they are still fallible. And the only righteous government we're going to have is Yeshua Messiah as our King. Our eternal, divine, blessed Redeemer reigning over us as Yahweh intended. And we will get rid of all earthly kings and welcome back the reign of Yahweh through Yeshua. And I really am just hoping on that day, and with great anticipation and great faith and great joy. And I'm in the end times. I'm living in this period of time. And there's an old Chinese curse that says, may you live in interesting times. Well, we're in a time of trouble. Jacob's trouble. And I'm part of Jacob Israel. I'm an Israelite of pure bloodline. And this is pre-tribulation. And I'm part of it. I'm privileged to be a servant of Yahweh, even after my formerly worthless life. He's chosen me and picked me to do what I'm doing here with this teaching ministry. And I praise him for that. And I am eternally grateful that he has found something usable in me that I can be of service and not be a knothead like Shaul. But look at the bright side of things. You're also participating in the destruction of the evil ones. You're seeing it come to pass. Praise Yahweh. Get yourself spiritually prepared and your family spiritually prepared, and then concentrate on the physical. Teach your children the scriptures at home. Be good parents. Good Israelite parents. Come back to Yahweh in the fullest. Get out of the Judeo-Christian cesspit. And come back to Yahweh. And remember, my white nationalist brothers and sisters out there, the ultimate white nation is going to be the full implementation of the kingdom of Yahweh. Because only Israel will be the rulers, and all of Israel is Adamic. We are all white people. Join with us. We are not a Jewish religion. We are the very opposite. And Yeshua was not a Jew or king of the Jews. He was of the tribe of Yehuda, which means Yah is praised, and was of pure Adamic seed line. So think on that. Think on that and listen to the teachings. And join with us. Join with us. We need you, and we love you as brothers and sisters. And we want you to be part of Yahweh's army, the truly effective army that is going to destroy these evil Jews. Well, I'm about down the end of the time for today. So I say to you, Shalom Aleichem, which means peace be unto you. And I will talk to you tomorrow on Friday, December the 2nd, with chapters 17 and 18 of 1 Samuel. May Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh in all things.